from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, I just want to report a little bit about the sights and sounds coming out of Scottsdale with Giants pitchers and catchers reporting yesterday. And then there was another Giants signing, like another signing that falls in line with this high volume of low risk but somewhat interesting signings that the Giants have done this offseason. So I guess we'll save the sights and sounds from day one in Scottsdale for the second half of the show. And I want to talk about Trevor Cahill, the Giants signing, the former A's pitcher, Trevor Cahill, who's bounced around between the A's, Diamondbacks, Dodgers, Cubs, Padres, back to the A's and to the Angels. So he's been around a long time, but he's only 31 years old. He turns 32 on March 1st. But, you know, like other signings the Giants have made this offseason and under Farhan Zaidi, you can understand why they're interested. And it's a minor league deal, so it is, again, a no-risk move with some upside. And yes, he was awful in 2019, but was good in 2018. So I feel like I've seen a lot this idea that what Farhan Zaidi is doing when he's targeting players that were good in the past but weren't so good in the previous season, that that's somehow similar to what Bobby Evans was doing, finding players who are past their prime and not good anymore. But there's a distinct difference between those two strategies. And what they are is that what Bobby Evans slash Brian Sabian, what they would do that got the Giants in a lot of trouble is that they would commit multiple years and high salaries to these types of players who were past their prime, or they would agree to pay them knowing that towards the back end, these players would likely be in a serious decline phase. So, you know, Hunter Pence in his mid-30s on a five-year $90 million deal is very different than Hunter Pence on a one-year $3 million deal with, you know, the fact is there's virtually no risk in the latter, but a ton of risk in the former. And Trevor Cahill, it's like, yeah, he struggled in 2019, but was good in 2018. It's a minor league contract. There's absolutely no risk, and there's only upside. Now, if you sign him to like a three-year, $30 million deal, that's a totally different story. So that's why the signings of like Tyson Ross and Drew Smyly and Kevin Gausman and Tyler Anderson and others, I like those moves because you don't inherit the risk at all. But if they're able to regain some effectiveness, that's when they play on your roster and you can take advantage of that. And so even someone like Drew Pomeranz last offseason, he really struggled with the Giants in the first half of 2019. I think we saw stretches of promise because he could be overpowering at times and did rack up a lot of strikeouts, which are key in today's game. But still, there was an understanding by the front office, even when most fans and even myself, we weren't aware. They seemed to know that if they just moved him to the bullpen, he would become really, really good. And that's exactly what happened. And it took like four games in the bullpen in order to convince the Brewers to give up Mauricio Dubon for a rental of Drew Pomeranz, the relief pitcher. And then Pomeranz ends up getting like a $30-plus million deal this offseason. So the Giants did in fact have an underrated asset, undervalued and underpriced asset on their hands in Pomeranz. And that was even though he wasn't pitching particularly well for them. So with Gausman and Smyly and Tyson Ross and now Trevor Cahill, and there are countless others, they kind of represent that same type of upside. I mean, Cahill is a very different pitcher than some of those other guys. But what, you know, when he was at his best, which we don't have to look very far, just go back to 2018 with the A's. He was, you know, he made 20 starts through 110 innings and was pretty much like 10% better than average across the board by earned run average, fielding independent pitching, expected fielding independent pitching, induced a ton of ground balls, as he usually does, limited home runs, and got an average rate of strikeouts. So he was a quality pitcher for the A's just 2 years ago, totally collapsed in 2019. But, you know, on a minor league deal, you take that chance that he can get back to being what he was just a couple years ago. So he doesn't represent that like huge bullpen upside like you might see, like we did see with Pomeranz. And I think in terms of signings the Giants have made, I think Kevin Gausman is probably a guy who could become that if it doesn't work out in the starting rotation. And in fact, Farhan Zaidi has said that he thinks Gausman could be an elite closer. And so I don't take that for granted, because he was totally right about Pomeranz before anybody else was. And, you know, Gausman did pitch out of the pen in 2019 at times with the Reds and was completely dominant. So I like that move a lot. And I think, you know, there's nothing but upside. And if it doesn't work out, it's a one-year deal and you move on after the season. So there's really no risk. Anyway, coming up in the second half of the show, we'll switch our attention to kind of the sights and sounds from day one in Scottsdale yesterday. So that's all coming up next. But first, this spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75 degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in Greater Phoenix within 50 miles. Check out amazing restaurants and bars nearby, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Arizona is known for its incredible landscapes and thrilling outdoor adventures. Hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, or just taking a sunset. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. Bringing the kids along to spring training? Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. There's tons of stuff for kids to do and see, like wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway now at visitarizona.com/springtraining. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Giants is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Giants fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Giants fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. All right, here in the second half of the show, I want to talk about some of what we saw coming out of Scottsdale yesterday with pitchers and catchers finally reporting. And worth noting that a bunch of position players also reported yesterday. But the official report date for position players, I believe, is this upcoming Sunday. And then the games get started next week, late next week. So we're really close here to getting some live baseball and some games getting underway. So it's very exciting. But, you know, yesterday was a big day because this was the first day under the new leadership. And I think the transformation, kind of the overhaul of the Giants organization, is essentially nearly complete. And I'm talking about from a leadership standpoint, not from a roster construction standpoint. But, you know, we've got Farhan Zaidi in place. We've got Scott Harris in place. People below them, scouting directors, farm director, and now Gabe Kapler plus his entire new coaching staff. So a new era has dawned, and it dawned yesterday in Scottsdale. And most of the news coming out of Scottsdale, there was a couple of interesting things about players and Kapler specifically, but the biggest story seemed to be this new facility that they've built at Scottsdale Stadium, and it looks incredible. And it's worth pointing out that this, the plans for this and the money for this was in the works before Farhan Zaidi took over, so it's not like they alone and the new front office alone was behind this, but it is nevertheless a very significant step for this organization, because by all accounts, their facilities in their spring training complex were very, very much behind the times and were among the worst in the league, if not the worst. And so this new facility is a $50 million plus dollar facility paid for in part by the city of Scottsdale and by the Giants. But it looks incredible. And you can go online, pretty much any source, the Chronicle or NBC Sports Bay Area or even The Athletic. And those reporters have stories and pictures and videos of this facility that includes, you know, a beautiful two-story gym with windows looking out over the field, balconies with lounge chairs where front office personnel can have meetings as they watch spring training games. And they also look over some of the practice facilities. The clubhouse has been completely renovated and looks really nice and comfortable and is comparable. Henry Schulman of the Chronicle says it's comparable to many major league clubhouses. And there's basically just a better flow to the entire facility where in the past players and coaches would have to like run from one side of the stadium to the other to like be in the clubhouse and then to get food and then to work out in the gym. None of it was like interconnected the way it all is now in this facility, which includes a giant conference space as well. And Gabe Kapler's office is like connected to the clubhouse just around the corner and has open doors on both sides and a standing desk. This got a lot of attention that Kapler is using a standing desk. And while I guess it's kind of funny to laugh at that, you know, it's not a great idea to be sitting for long periods of time. So I totally support standing desks whenever it's feasible to fit them in to a space. And, you know, in terms of quotes from players, we did get a couple. We got Jeff Samardzija saying that he spent a lot of time with Gabe Kapler in the offseason and that he enjoyed spending time with him and he's really excited for what Kapler and the new coaching staff are going to provide. And this is kind of a story because last offseason or last spring training, it was day one, I believe, when position players and catchers were there, was when Bochy announced he was going to be retiring. So in response to that, Jeff Samardzija said something to the effect of Bochy is the last of a dying breed. And once he's gone, it's going to be 30 puppets out there as managers in baseball. And I've never quite, you know, kind of bought into the idea that the managers are puppets. I think they're more collaborative than they've ever been. But, you know, ultimately, yes, the front office should have a say. They're the ones constructing the roster. I think they should have a say on how guys are used. And it was more necessary maybe for them to be more involved when managers weren't thinking in sync with what the front office was thinking. But Gabe Kapler is obviously someone who's new school, so to speak, and isn't going to have a problem understanding advanced analytics and buying in to the modern game. So I don't buy that idea that he's going to be a puppet. And that's kind of a tangent there because we're talking about Samardzija. But it's to me, it's just all about collaboration and working together instead of in the past, the GM would kind of build the roster and then stay out of it. And the manager would be the one who decides what to do with these guys. But, you know, I don't think it hurts to have more collaboration as opposed to less. So anyway, that's what Samardzija said when he heard Bochy was retiring. And so naturally, the reporters asked him, okay, now Gabe Kapler is here. What do you think? Like, is he a puppet? Is your manager a puppet? And he said he basically walked back from those statements, which is kind of funny. But, you know, he said he spent time, a lot of time in San Francisco this offseason. And Kapler was there and they were at the ballpark together a lot. And so they spent a lot of time together. And Samardzija said he's really excited and he's looking forward to Kapler being around the young guys because he thinks he's going to be a tremendous influence on them. And he also said he's excited to see what Kapler and the coaching staff can do with this team. And surprisingly, Jeff Samardzija also basically complimented Farhan Zaidi for his desire to put out the most competitive team possible. He appreciates, you know, the infusion of some of these guys last season who made an impact and had a desire to produce some good baseball. So I'm going to find that quote here. So here's what he said. Quote, I'm a pretty old school guy. I like talent. I love finding diamonds in the rough. I think it's important and it's necessary to win and do the things you want to do. But when it comes down to it, you've got to have them dogs out there that love playing and love going out and that's just what they do. It doesn't matter what they're getting paid or where they're at. That's what excites me about this staff and Cap and with Farhan. To be successful as a team, you need to have 25 guys who are here for the same reason, which is to play hard and love this game. So that's kind of my take on it too. I mean, people act as if Farhan Zaidi is like a guy who's locked in his office and looking at spreadsheets. But if you actually knew the guy, you would know that nothing is further from the truth. And he's super competitive and he fully understands the game and understands that these guys want to win and are competitive. And, you know, I thought he did a tremendous job last year of infusing some players into the roster who gave them a lift. I mean, people loved Kevin Pillar and Steven Vogt and Alex Dickerson and Mike Yastrzemski and Donovan Solano and Mauricio Dubon. Like, people were fans of the players that he brought in, and the players undoubtedly were fans of these players coming in and giving them a lift as well. And so that's what he's saying here. He loves that, you know, what Kapler's going to be able to do potentially, which is foster an environment where people are playing hard and competing and trying to be the best they can be and developing into the best players they can be, and Farhan constantly not being satisfied with a losing roster and doing whatever he can to make an improvement wherever he can. I mean, to me, that is what it's all about. And you want your front office to be super active in trying to improve the team. And that is what Farhan Zaidi does, versus some teams, they're super complacent even when they don't have a very good team. And to me, that is a lot worse than being extremely active, trying to get your team back to being in contention as quickly as possible. Because even though some people might think that just signing a couple of free agents would have been the right move, that wouldn't have been enough for this team. They kind of need to rebuild from the ground up as opposed to just adding a couple of pieces to the top end and still having a faulty foundation. So they've been working on the foundation, and I think that we're starting to see the fruits of that labor a little bit. When I talk about the depth, that's what I'm talking about. The foundation is becoming stronger. So anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Remember to get this show every weekday. You need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspick. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you next time.